Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
It's so much more than just a profile picture. At Catholic Singles, our platform offers you many opportunities to get to know the person behind the picture. Sign up today at CatholicSingles.com.
Hi, and welcome to Simply Holy, where we uncomplicate holiness with Mary as our mentor. I'm Marge Steinhage-Fenelon, and today's show is all about coping with isolation. I'm going to be doing a few things in the show today. First of all, I'll talk about what I mean by isolation. What do I mean by that? And then I'm going to examine what the scriptures say about isolation. There's plenty there. And then finally, I'll talk about how to cope with isolation in a very practical way. Hey, let me express my gratitude to you for your support and prayers and for your help in spreading the word about the show. I am so very grateful to you for that. I've been watching the number of downloads and the comments and so forth to my podcast, and I'm seeing that steadily grow. And that tells me that, first of all, God is working through me, but then just as importantly is that God is working through you, and that you feel urged to spread the word about the show. So thank you so much from the bottom of my heart for helping me to lead the world to Christ through Mary. That is my apostolate, leading the world to Christ through Mary, and you're helping. Well, let's pray. Let's pray. I always like to begin with a prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Heavenly Father, thank you for this opportunity to be together today in this podcast. Thank you for your many, many gifts, because you give us gifts all through the day. And sometimes, Father, we just don't see those gifts, or we ignore them, or don't appreciate them. Father, thank you for the gifts that you give us. Mother Mary, thank you so much for urging me to speak in today's podcast and nudging my listener to listen to me, to what you have to say through me. Heavenly Father, please grant us open hearts and minds so that we may savor the message that Christ and our mother have for us today. In Jesus' name and through Mary's intercession, we pray. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. I do apologize. I know there's a little bit of, especially during the prayer just now, a little bit of throat clearing. Sorry about that. You know, it's the season. There's viruses and so forth. And I think I'm dealing with a little something there. And so I'll apologize ahead of time for that. Hey, our topic. You and I today are going to be talking about coping with isolation. Again, I'm Marge Steinhage-Fenelon. And, wow, we have a great show for you today as we discuss how, in very practical ways, to cope with isolation. Now, the first point that I would like to talk about is, what do I mean by isolation? What are we talking about? Now, there's the medical isolation, where they separate the patient from others because of some communicable disease, you know, some contagious disease or health condition, low immune system, that's, they're put into isolation. That's not what I'm talking about. Although that can be a very difficult time. So perhaps, I have no doubt that some of the things I'll be covering today would be helpful to a person in that situation. But I'm talking more about isolation. And here's what it is. Isolation is the feeling of being distanced or separated from others. I'm talking about that feeling or the thinking, the thought pattern that comes from isolation. That's what I'm talking about here. It's the not feeling like you're part of the world, like you're not part of those around you, like somehow there's a wall between you and others, whether it's a physical wall where you are literally isolated, you can't get out of the house. You know, right now, as I'm recording this podcast, you know, we've got this Arctic blast that's covering most of the United States. We've got, in many areas, including mine, record snowfalls for early November, and these plummeting temperatures. Well, you know, it's hard to get out. It's hard to get out, and some people literally can't get out in this kind of weather. Maybe it's dangerous. Maybe they just have no way to travel, and it's really hard on people. Plus, you add to this the fact that we're in that time of the year where the days are getting shorter. And that's going to keep going until December 21st. And so you also have those with the light affective disorder, you know, that struggling when there isn't enough daylight, when the days are shorter, when it gets dark earlier. People really struggle with that. That adds to the difficulty of feeling isolated. So we have a lot of things that can wear on us and make us feel isolated, whether we are in fact physically isolated or not. You know, there are other kinds of isolated. You know, we could be in the middle of a room packed with people and still feel isolated. Have you ever had that? Have you ever had that experience? Oh, I have, so very many times. Where, you know, maybe it's just something that's going on inside myself, or maybe I'm in a crowd of people that I just don't feel connected to. I don't have anything in common with them, or I'm not really participating, or I don't feel like participating in what's going on. You know, so you can be isolated in a crowd. And so there's that isolation of your environment, your home, and not being able to get out. You know, that's me a lot of the time. You know, when I'm not on the road, I'm working out of my home. And I can tell you, and this is why I can really speak to this subject, there are times when I realize it's been 3, 4, even once it was 5, maybe I think it was 6 days where I didn't get out of the house. It wasn't necessarily because I was sick. It was because I didn't have any appointments. I didn't really want to go out. Probably it was rough weather, or I was just busy with other things. And the time can go without me realizing it. So I realize, oh my goodness, you know, I haven't been out in so many days. And so I notice a difference in myself. I notice that my attitude changes, my energy level goes down. I don't think cheery thoughts on a regular basis. You know, I have to struggle for that. So I understand isolation. So this other isolation of, you know, even when we're in constant contact with other people, it could be for many reasons. Maybe we're estranged. Maybe we're not getting along with the people that we're living with. Maybe we don't have anything in common with them. Maybe, you know, maybe you're just not getting along for some reason. Maybe there's other difficulties, but you just don't feel connected to those people. And this can happen even in our own homes, sadly enough. You know, you could have 6-7 people living together in the same dwelling, and they are all feeling isolated because they're not connected. You see, isolation is the inability to connect with others on a meaningful basis. So you could even have small talk with multiple people in a day and still feel isolated because it's not meaningful contact. And we can even feel isolated from God when our contact with God is not meaningful for us, not because of Him. It can never lack meaning because of Him. I want you to understand that. But because of ourselves, you know, you and I, we can lose that meaningful contact with God, that meaningful relationship with God. Now in the scriptures, there are tons and tons of examples of isolation, people who felt truly isolated from others, other human beings, and then also from God. So think about Abraham. When God informed him that he was to take Isaac up on the mountain and sacrifice him, you know, kill his own son, that was a time of isolation for Abraham. Who would he talk to? How could he even explain that to anyone else? He couldn't even tell his own son that he was about to sacrifice what was going on. That's real isolation. Abraham had to hold that all to himself without sharing it with anyone. What about Moses? Moses had lots of isolation, because he was trying to get it through the heads of the Israelites that they needed to follow God's commandments. And he was called, to go away from the group, to be alone with God. Now, that's a beautiful isolation in that respect, the being alone with God. But he had his times. He had his times of being truly isolated. Job, we've spoken about Job before on this podcast, but think about Job and his isolation. He was suffering from, oh my goodness, just every which way, and really alone in his suffering, because people were looking at him like, what's wrong with you? And didn't really want to have anything to do with him. So that's isolation. But one of the best examples of isolation in scripture is our friend Jeremiah. He's just the perfect model, because when you look at the Bible, there are few biblical characters who had more reason to be lonely than the prophet Jeremiah. You see, he belonged to a priestly family, which had long been ousted from the religious and royal establishment. They were kicked out. Additionally, he was called at birth to serve as a prophet during the most devastating events in Jewish history. So he prophesied from the 13th year of Josiah's reign, which was 627 BC, until shortly after the fall of Jerusalem, which was in 587 BC. So it was 40 years. And those years were marked by attempts on the part of his opponents to silence him by means of arrests, trials, beatings, imprisonments, even assassination plots. Isolation. Then there were the personal sacrifices that he was called to. That was far worse than anything the public could do to him. You see, his prophetic office included the command to remain single. Here's what the Lord told him. He instructed Jeremiah. He said, "You shall not take a wife, nor shall you have sons or daughters in this place." Now, Jeremiah's bachelorhood is so unusual among the Jews that the Old Testament has no word for bachelor. Isn't that something? There's no word for it because it was unheard of. So that made his situation worse. You know, he was even, people didn't want anything to do with him because not only, you know, is he, you know, prophesying and they don't want to hear this, but, you know, the guy hasn't a wife and kids. You know, their assumption is there's something wrong with this guy, right? And so, you know, given the importance of children in that culture, that time and culture, well, this prohibition would have been startling to others and to the prophet himself. It was hard. And not only that, even more, he also had to refrain from attending social events like funerals and weddings. Yeah, isolation. Oh, yeah, isolation to the nth degree. So he has to endure the absence of a spouse or a family. He's removed from all social events, can't attend that. And then he's given this thankless and despised profession. So I really think few individuals would have had greater reason to feel isolated than Jeremiah the prophet. Such isolation he endured. Well, how did he get through it? How did Jeremiah do it? Well, first of all, he recognized God's calling. Now, you and I aren't called to be prophets in the same way that Jeremiah was. But we are called to be prophets by our very lives. And so we need to be aware, like Jeremiah, this will help us in our isolation, that we need to recognize God's calling for us. My calling is to be, well, for myself personally, a wife, a mother, an author, a speaker, and yes, a person who at times in my life spends a lot of time alone and has the temptation to succumb to isolation. All right, that's God's calling for me, and so I have to work with that, but I have to recognize that. All right, and then what we learn from Jeremiah, he had trust in God's control. You know, he didn't like what was being asked of him. It was very hard. He didn't like having to go out there again and tell those people that they need to straighten their paths. No, he didn't like that at all. But he trusted in God's control because God is the all-powerful, the almighty, the all-knowing, the all-loving. He's it. And Jeremiah trusted that. He trusted that God controls everything, even when it's something very difficult for us to endure. And then he had what they call a possession of God's perspective. So he, through his prayer and meditation, could bring himself to look at things from God's point of view. That's hard. But we can do that. Yes, we can. But it means putting self aside and looking and saying, well, what is God doing with this? What might God want from this? And then finally, prayer. Jeremiah dealt with his isolation through prayer, not just rattling off wrote prayers that he had memorized. That's, you know, yes, and sometimes we need that. There are times I do it too, where I just don't feel like praying. But then, you know, to pull out the rosary or to recite prayers that, you know, I have either written or that I know by heart. All right, but that's not the kind of prayer that Jeremiah used to cope with his isolation. His prayer was a genuine and loving and intimate relationship with God. It was a conversation, a depth with vast and encompassing conversation with God. That is how Jeremiah dealt with his isolation. And he also did reach out to, he did have at least a few friends, and so he did reach out to them. And I'll talk a little bit about that more in the next section of our podcast today. I just wanted to give you a little insight into Jeremiah's life to give you some consolation and inspiration. Well, who else? Who else in the Bible? Well, Mary. Can you imagine how isolated she felt at the Annunciation? She just learned that by the Holy Spirit she had conceived, couldn't explain it to anyone, had to bear that completely alone. That's isolation. Isolation. She couldn't reach out to anybody else with that at that moment. And not for a while after, as a matter of fact. Only once she visited Elizabeth, and Elizabeth immediately knew. But that's another story. That's another podcast. The Holy Family, the flight to Egypt. Can you imagine that kind of isolation? They had to go. They couldn't tell anyone when or where they were going. They had to take off. They had to travel through this dangerous territory with Herod's henchmen, looking for their son. They had to go to a foreign country. Nobody knew them. They had no friends. It was just them. Isolation. Isolation. And then our Lord himself. Our Lord himself. He had many times of isolation. Now, the ultimate was that he knew he was God. And there wasn't anybody on earth who could understand that fully. Interesting. You ever think about that? That's something you could meditate on for a good long time. But there are times where he chose isolation. He chose isolation, and this is a great example for us. And I'll get to exactly why when we talk a little bit more about coping. But there were times here just after the multiplication of the loaves, Jesus went up to the mountain to pray. Right before he chose his 12 apostles, what do you think he did? He went into the hills to pray. All night long, he was there praying. Isolation. Before Peter's profession of faith, he prayed. He isolated himself. Immediately before the transfiguration, again, he goes up, he takes Peter and John and James this time, so a small group, but still, he goes up on the mountain to pray, isolation, before teaching the Our Father. He prays all by himself, isolates himself, and then he teaches them the Our Father. The Garden of Gethsemane. Wow, what isolation. He knew what was going to happen the next day. He was all alone in that. The disciples, the apostles, they just didn't understand fully. They had no clue. Look, they fell asleep. They fell asleep on him. He was all alone in that horrid agony. And then the ultimate, yep, here we go with the computer glitches again. There's something about this particular program, and I apologize, it likes to fire off about three quarters of the way into the recording. Anyway, let's not stop, because that's just red legs trying to cause mischief for me in this podcast. All right, one I want to really pinpoint is after the baptism. After our Lord was baptized by John the Baptist, he went into the desert. He spent 40 days there fasting and praying. 40 days of isolation. Now, that wasn't all. It wasn't like a vacation. All right. He was fasting. He was praying. But also during that time, he was tempted by the devil. So that's, you just look up the temptation of Christ. And it's really a beautiful thing when you see how our Lord allowed himself to experience things that we human beings experience, have experienced, and will continue to experience. So our Lord's times of isolation, he too experienced isolation. Okay, so how do we cope with this? How do we cope with isolation? Whether it's physical, whether it's emotional, whether it's spiritual, whether it's mental, whatever it is, how do we cope with it? Well, let me give you some pointers. Okay? Now, whether you are isolated in a place like your own home or even at the office or elsewhere. All right, so especially, and I'm thinking of those who are isolated at home, because that's the kind of isolation that leads to deep, deep loneliness. All right, atmosphere. Think about the atmosphere. Even if you don't feel like it, okay? Even if you're feeling down and miserable, play some uplifting music. I'm talking about something beautiful. Music that lifts your spirits. Now, I do often, when I'm feeling isolated, I do play oldies, all right? Because that makes me happy, and it brings good memories to me and decreases the loneliness. So it doesn't all have to be religious music, but I'm talking about something that is beautiful and uplifting and pure. Okay, something that's not going to lead your thoughts in areas where they shouldn't be going. All right, so music, light. If it's dark out or one of those awful cloudy winter days, you need light. Light a candle if you want, but make sure there are lights on in where you are, the atmosphere you're in. You need that. You need light. And then surround yourself with sacramentals. And this you could do, you could even do this at the office. You can do this in public, by the way, by carrying a rosary in your pocket. Or even a picture of the Blessed Mother or our Lord Jesus. Sacramentals help in that atmosphere and remind us that we're not alone. They remind us of the presence of the divine. And then keep good spiritual reading around you. Just so you can reach out and restructure your mind by reading something awesome about God. It kind of breaks that thought pattern of, oh, I'm all alone, I'm miserable, I don't want to go out, that kind of thing. All right? And then stay busy. That's so important. Stay busy. Don't brood on your isolation. It's the worst thing for you. Stay busy and do something productive. Something productive. Something that makes you feel like you've accomplished something. Even if it's just a small menial task, something productive. Preferably, if possible, do something for others. So send a card. Make, if you have some kind of hobby or talent, you know, make something for someone else. You know, think of someone in your life that maybe is lonelier than you and do something for them, but stay productive. And then if you can, get out and go to church, because there you have community. You have the mystical body of Christ, particularly during the Mass. So the sacraments are so important. Reconciliation is very important when you are feeling isolated, because it helps pull you out of yourself. It's a very healing time there in the confessional. And Eucharistic adoration, because our Lord is right there for you. Right there for you. Eucharistic adoration. Try to get out. Or reach out to others. You know, there are televised masses. There are other things that are not as good as human contact, but will make you feel and understand, you know, remind you that you are a part or part of a bigger entity, which is the church. Send somebody a message. Email somebody. Give them a call. Do you know somebody who tends to be lonely a lot? Because you're not alone. If you're feeling isolated, you know you're not alone. Give somebody a call. And then, most important of all, is work on your relationship with Christ and His Mother. Because here's the thing, my friend. No matter how isolated you feel, no matter how lonely you are, no matter how down or miserable you are not alone. You are never alone. Ever, not for one single second, are you ever alone. And you need to remember that. I need to remember that. I need to remind myself of that when I'm feeling isolated. Because we are never truly alone. God is ever present. Jesus is by our sides all the time, every day, constantly. Never, never are we alone. Never are we alone. His Mother is right there by our side. Our Blessed Mother, right there by our side at all times. Never are we alone. So work on that. And how do you work on it? Just talk to Him. Talk to Him. If you're all alone, talk out loud. Who cares? Who cares? You know, you're not going to bother anybody. Start a conversation, even when you don't know what to say. Jesus, I don't know what to say. I feel so isolated. Tell me what to say. Speak to my heart. You know, like so. Blessed Mother, you know, I know you care about me. I'm not feeling it right now, but I really need you. All right, and just go from there and tell them all about your day. Tell them all about why you feel isolated, whatever it is. Tell them how you hate not being able to get out, whatever it is. Develop a relationship. Work on that relationship with Jesus Christ and with His Mother. Now, I'm going to recommend to you some spiritual reading, because I think one of the best resources for times when we're struggling, when we're feeling isolated, is the Diary of Saint Faustina, Divine Mercy in My Soul. It's the Diary of Saint Faustina. Now, it's 600 plus pages. So it's not the kind of thing you read all in one sitting, but you can pick out passages here and there. Why? Because what Jesus tells Saint Faustina is meant for all of us. And He says that many times very clearly. It's meant for all of us. And I'm going to give you one example, but the book is filled with them. Filled with these beautiful passages that are Jesus' own words to Saint Faustina. And here's one I go back to repeatedly. Repeatedly, because I just love this one. The paragraph number is 1053. It was Holy Thursday, and during Mass, Saint Faustina saw Jesus. And Jesus said this to her, "Lean your head on my breast and rest. And then she says, "The Lord pressed me to His heart and said, I shall give you a small portion of my passion, but do not be afraid. Be brave. Do not seek relief, but accept everything with submission to my will. Isn't that perfect? That is exactly perfect for times of isolation. Put yourself in Saint Faustina's place and feel that presence of Jesus. Allow yourself to rest your head on his shoulder. Ask him to allow you to feel that, and you will not feel isolated any longer. He definitely will allow you to feel his love and his accompaniment. So, divine mercy in my soul. Diary of Saint Faustina. Amazing, amazing. It's just full of little nuggets of beauty and wisdom like that. You can just open it randomly or work through it front to back. I've done both at times in my life. So, wow, a lot to ponder on today's show. And I just want to remind you, as we go through our week, you and I, let's remember that we are never truly alone. Jesus is very near. He's right next to us, and he is waiting to comfort us. So it's time, sadly, to bring our time together to a close. If you'd like to know more about me, become part of my apostolate, subscribe to my newsletter or my Merry Monday, which is a little reflection I send out each Monday on the Blessed Mother. There's a quote or some kind of passage from a Marian document, and then a little reflection and a prayer to start your week off the right way in the arms of our Blessed Mother. So, Merry Monday. You can subscribe on my website. If you want to invite me to speak, please visit margefenelin.com. That's margefenelin.com. I have a wealth of awesome inspiration waiting there for you. Now, before you go, I ask that you help me bring the world to Christ through Mary by sharing this podcast with people in your life. Let's grow this apostolate. Give me a hand with this, please. Share this podcast, please, with the people in your life. Hey, thanks for listening. Until soon, let's remember that the only thing stopping us from becoming holy are the excuses we make for not pursuing it. May God bless you and our Mother Mary protect and guide you.
Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at caneford.com.